Jamie and Locker with you here on a Monday edition of the Green Zone. We'll talk a little hockey later
Turn that off. Thank you. Jeez.
Come on. A little rush. Good times. Belton Awful. Johnson is joining us. Belton, how are you doing today?
Hey, it's a beautiful day, fellas. I'm doing good.
You didn't get to say goodbye to Locker on the way out of Boston when he left Boston Pizza in a flash after that Oiler-Panther game.
I don't know why he was in such a rush to leave. It was a great atmosphere around there. The Panthers beat up on the Oilers. The Riders won. What a great
weekend. I can let you know that I was concerned for my safety after the second goal of the Panthers, and you grabbed me and picked me up off my feet. I didn't feel like I needed to stick around.
You know, Locke, I was thinking, like, man, I hope I didn't hurt his collarbone.
You are a big man, Belton.
And then he's got vice grips for hands from his O-line days.
He was like, "How you doing, Locker?" I'm like, "Whoa, there we go."
Belton was
in the game now.
Belton, you weren't making some friends. There are some Oiler fans who were getting sick and tired of you screaming every time the Panthers scored a goal. But they weren't right willing to do much about it other than glare, because I dare you.
There was that one table right in front of him. Every time Belton cheered, he would just get the snake eye from that guy.
I just learned to be quiet. Just go quiet after that.
Okay, we're going to get into the Rough Riders here. But real quick, Brittany Caffey, of course, from our newsroom, had a chance to talk with some Rough Riders. The offensive line about their diet, 6,000 calories. Man. So I'm going to play you a little bit of Brittany's piece on what the O-linemen are consuming on a day-to-day basis.
Daniel Johnson starts his day off with a breakfast plate that resembles Mount Everest.
Potatoes, eggs, sausages, just mix that all up and then have some yogurt, dates, and nuts.
And Jacob Brammer, he's clearing out egg cartons like it's a competitive sport.
I go through 30 a week.
If you think that's extreme, Logan Ferland doesn't just eat eggs, he drinks them.
Raw eggs I can mix them with my smoothie. There's six raw eggs.
Now, eating 6,000 calories a day, nearly triple the average person's intake, doesn't come easy or cheap.
Not including supplements, I'm at least 1,000 a month. Spend more on groceries than rent.
And a buffet hates to see these guys coming.
I'll usually wait to the back of the line so there's some left. Otherwise, they get low mad.
Brammer tells me that his appetite has become a bit of a family legend. The food never lasts long when he's around.
They're like, okay, now we got to make more. Jacob's coming.
It's not just about packing in calories. It's about making those calories count. They try to eat clean, whole foods as much as they can. But Johnson admits that even the most disciplined players have their weak spots.
I try not to get packaged stuff. I try not to. But, you know, like the snacks, I love food sensations. That's my go-to.
When you have to be big to do your job, eating isn't really optional. It's expected.
Throughout the season, it's like you dread having to, like, every time you sit down, you're like, all right, I should probably have something in my hand.
It does become a chore for sure, but at the same time, when I'm ready to be done and retired and hang up the cleats, it's going to suck to stop eating because I love my food. Like, it's nice to be able to, as an old lineman, to be able to eat pretty much whatever you want because we're burning so many calories. So that has a nice part to it.
Belton, what was your...
That's amazing.
What was your daily intake as a player? Like, what was your go-to on how high your plate was piled from a day-to-day basis?
Oh, man. You know, for me, it was always a light breakfast, right? You know, protein drinks and all that stuff. But, you know, you catch me out to practice for lunch or supper or something, that's when I'm piling it on, because I heard one of the players state something about a buffet. I was all about the buffets, fellas. And I know they were scared to see me coming, because guess what? Belton is going to get his money's worth and more at the buffet.
Belton, are you the reason why Bonanza closed down?
Hey, Locke, I'm getting my money's worth and more, man.
When Logan Ferland said his grocery bills, like for him, is $1,000 a month, like, is that
that's a household?
Is that true? I guess grocery prices have gone up quite substantially since you retired, but like, how big were the grocery bills? It's something not a lot of people probably even think about, because as much as, like, how many pounds would you lose in a game? Like, there was a hot game. How many? You lost 5 to 8 pounds or something like that?
In a hot game, more than that, Jamie, probably up to 10 to 15
what?
Pounds. Oh, yeah, it's easy to burn, man. And, you know, you got to put it back, right? Like, and, you know, I would even say, you know, college days, even my pro days, you know, the way you practice and then the games and everything, it was easy to lose weight for me during the games. And you know what? After the games, I'm gonna have a good meal and, you know, the breakfast and everything the next day after a game. When he was talking about Johnson was talking about what the eggs, hash brown, sausage, I was wondering where's the bacon and the pancakes.
So on the discussion of eggs, just quickly, because you get conflicting stuff all the time about this is good for you, that's not good for you. Oh, you can have a little red wine, you can have a little chocolate, you can't have chocolate, you can't. Eggs has been the same sort of battle back and forth over the years. Did you have an egg consumption, like a weekly egg consumption that you can remember?
Look, I remember me and teammates, we would drink raw eggs at nighttime just to
keep the pounds up.
We would just do it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think at one time the most I could get was like 7 or 8 down, right? And it was, you know, I don't know a lot of people who could drink raw eggs, but I know me and I think what Furl in there said he could.
Yeah.
I can do it.
I've never tried.
I don't think I don't think I could get 7 down. But yeah, put a little Tabasco sauce in there, maybe. Maybe some Clamato.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, especially when me and my brother would go home, my mom, she always had to double up on the eggs or triple up sometimes, because we would burn through them, man.
Okay, Belton Johnson, let's get to the game. 28-23 win. Brett Lawther misses 4 kicks, 1 PAT. And 3 field goals. What are you thinking as a teammate of Brett Lawther? Do you still believe in this kicker?
I'm going to say I believe in him, Jamie, just because, you know, I know what happened last year. You know, he had a little rut there, and then he came on strong. And, you know, my thing with kickers is, you know, MetLife, you know, our relationship. I can always depend on him. Always, no ifs, ands, buts. We could be at the 50-yard line. It's gonna be good, right? And that's the thing that with players, the kickers, right? They depend on Lawler. They know he can hit it, right? So when he has a game like that, it's like, oh man, like, you know, that mentality kind of shifts a little bit. But if he could get back on track from this week forward, we won't even be looking at this again, Jamie.
I was saying to Jamie earlier, we were chatting about watching the game with you, and I said it was a lot of fun watching the Riders game with you, and I was particularly impressed with your reaction to AJ Olette's touchdown. So he gets the first major, but then he stiff arms that guy, and man, yeah, that was a great play, and it was great to see AJ doing that after getting hurt and getting, you know, out of the first game there early.
And that is good to see. And, you know, a run like that, right, that's especially with the O-line and everything, that's where you want to see those big runs. And again, fellas, when you see a long, big run, 20 yards or more, mm-hmm. guess what? The receivers, they're doing their job too. They're down there, they're downfield blocking for a running back to get out like that. And for AJ to use that stiff arm, that was just the cherry on top and to score the touchdown, right? Like, when old linemen, I guarantee you, they're watching that film. I bet you $100 they played that clip back 20 times to watch film.
Okay, you had a little intel on the left tackle, Daniel Johnson. Your brother Marcus coached him at Purdue. What is the intel on Daniel Johnson? Because he's certainly impressed in his first pro start on Saturday.
So from what my brother tells me, he is a beast, right? Like he stated Daniels there. He's doing his time there at Purdue. Well, they really loved him because he was so aggressive and everything. And I know my brother. My brother, he's aggressive when it comes to football. And if you could put somebody to the ground, the dirt or something, the more the merrier, right? And I think that's what Daniel presented for my brother. And guess what, fellas? He played a freaking good game at left tackle. I think the Riders only had the one sack. And I believe that came from the interior with Kendricks from the Ticats, right? And they also had a great running game. They had the Riders in total had over 100 yards rushing. So when the O-line can make the lanes for the running back, protect the quarterback, you got something going there, fellas.
Belton, post game, a couple of players, Trevor Harris and Corey Mace, were talking about, and it wasn't all the kicking game, that there were some things that they need to clean up. You're seeing that as well. We're only 2 weeks in, but that was a win, and a win's a win, but it was a bit of a sloppy win.
It was a sloppy win. And again, I think the Riders played down to their competition, and, you know, if Wilder hits those field goals and extra points, you know, we're talking double-digit lead, right? And, you know, sloppiness, the Riders secondary, the busted coverages and everything, right? Kenny Lawler, what, 8 catches, 162 yards? That's huge. I think even in the first couple of series, Bo Levi was, probably 13, 14 completions or something for like 130-some yards. I'm thinking he's going to have a 500-yard game early on there, right? So they do need to tighten up that secondary. I know they'd like to, you know, bend but don't break. But it'd be nice to just put teams away and just beat them up, really, right? That's what I'm looking for the Riders next.
Okay,
just annihilate somebody.
Okay, Belton, two things. A lot of people are giving you grief for picking the Tiger Cats on Saturday. Oh. I'm wondering how long you smoked the Crow for. This weekend?
Oh, Crow probably takes about an hour, as long as it's an internal temperature, 165 or so. You know, just
little garlic, maybe thyme.
Hey, we can wrap some bacon around it. Watch out, fellas.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Bacon makes everything better. Even Crow.
Okay, another question I had for you real quick. How did the steaks compare yesterday? I know you were making steaks for Father's Day. How do they compare to Darren's steaks, the listener from week one?
They were right on par, Jamie. I got proof. My father-in-law, cooked them up and everything to his liking, and he could not get enough of that steak. Talked about how juicy they were and everything, and, you know, I knew I had to be on my game because of Darren. I'm like, man, I gotta come to play today.
And final one, what's your prediction for tomorrow's Game 6, Panthers and Oilers?
Oh, man. They're in sunrise, Jamie. I'm going with the Panthers, fellas. I would love to see it go Game 7.
It's going Game 7.
The physicality alone, I think the Panthers are going to take it there at home tomorrow.
Belton, it's going Game 7. And for our watch party, regardless of how I'm included, I'm going to be wearing pads. I'm going to pad up. I'm going to give Corey Mace a call and go, I need the equipment manager here.
Yeah, we'll get Gordy on. Yeah, Gordy will suit you up. That'll be good. Hey,
I wanted to go Game 7 so we can go back to BP and have another good time.
Here's the other thing, too. Here's what you need to do. You need to sit next to Belton at BP's because I ordered wings, and listen, I got a good portion of wings. But then Belton's wings showed up, and I'm like, what did he do? What's going on? He had like twice the wings that I had. Did you see that?
He had the wing platter.
He sweet talked the waitress or something, and he got an extra portion.
Hey, look, I got a bigger engine, man. I got to burn them calories.
Well, Belton, we'll see you Friday, either in studio or at Boston Pizza for a Game 7 Rider Watch Party.
Hey, let's do it, fellas.
That is Belton Johnson, game day analyst here on the Green Zone. We still have Marty Biron coming up. talking Oilers, Panthers ahead of tomorrow's Game 6. And it's all right here on Home of the Fans, the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in a sports Stanley Cup final, game six tomorrow. The Oilers up against it. Do or die, must win, or the Panthers get the cup. Who's going to start in net?
Are you prepared to name a starter today?
I am not.
Chris Knobloch, not yet going to name a starter, though Stuart Skinner was in the starter's net for practice today instead of Calvin Pickard. Meanwhile, two guys going against each other will be teammates in Italy for the Olympics. Sam Reinhart and Connor McDavid, both named to the first six of the roster for Canada's Olympic team. Also on that initial list, Braden Point, Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, and of course Sidney Crosby was the other one for the starting six for Canada's Olympic team. Shohei Ohtani will be on the mound tonight as the starting pitcher for the L.A. Dodgers. And NBA Finals series tied 2-2. Game 5 starts in about an hour. The Oklahoma City Thunder against the Indiana Pacers. Coming up next, former goaltender Marty Biron will weigh in on who should start in goal for the Oilers tomorrow night. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you on this Monday. It was Father's Day yesterday, a Father's Day tradition for me. I always love watching the U.S. Open. It didn't disappoint yesterday either.
Don't need to make it. Two putts.
An unlikely winner after five bogeys in his first six holes yesterday.
I love his story, too. He's got a cool, like, start to go. Like, he started in Canada, logging it out in Canada.
Yeah, the PGA Tour Canada way back in the day.
Yeah, had a rough start, rough couple of years, making no money.
Was wondering where his pro career was going.
How much did he make with that win?
$4.3 million.
So in 2014, he made $825.
It was funny watching. There's a video making the rounds of the family. It was dark because it ended late because of the rain delay and everything yesterday. And they're on the 18th green taking photos, and you can hear his daughter in the background going, "Daddy, we have to leave. It's bedtime." And JJ's, "We're going to stay up late tonight." And she goes, "Yay!" and starts jumping up and down. Adorable, especially with Father's Day.
Yeah,
yesterday was a cool moment for JJ Spahn. Also in the signer's tent when they're signing the scorecard, there is a moment in that hallway where the kids are there and he points at the TV and she's like in his arms and he's like, "Hey, look, you're on TV," because they had them in the background. And then she didn't care about dad after that. She was just like, "Hey, look, I am on TV." It was nice moment. J.J. Spahn, U.S. Open champion.
First major.
His first major. That U.S. Open at Oakmont, it is. Tyrrell Hatton didn't have as much fun as J.J. Spahn, I'll tell you that much. He was slamming his club all over the place yesterday during that final couple of holes.
They cut it rough, eh? This year.
Oh, boy. And then the rain, it just made it worse. It was a tough one. Only one player under par, and that's the winner, J.J. Spahn. Of course, we were watching some hockey on Saturday. The Oilers fall to the Florida Panthers, and tomorrow the Panthers will try to win the cup. The big question, as we had Marty Biron with us earlier, is, of course, who the heck plays net and who should get the net for the Oilers in Game 6?
So on Friday, ahead of Game 5, I said, this is Calvin Pickard's net now for the rest of the playoffs. He's 7-0. And then Game 5 happened. And I'm not blaming Calvin Pickard, just like I didn't really blame Stuart Skinner, but I feel like they needed to change to Pickard, and now I feel like the Oilers need to change back to Stuart Skinner. Look, Stuart Skinner is the better of the two goalies. Stuart Skinner is the number one goalie of the Edmonton Oilers. And on his best day, there's no debate who the better goalie is. It's on their worst days, I feel like Stuart Skinner has worse days than Calvin Pickard, but you're not banking on the worst days now. You're facing elimination. You're banking on the best days, and you have to find a way to get Stuart Skinner's best day. Number one, the Oilers have to have a better start. They've been terrible in starting games now, the last two games. They haven't scored a first-period goal since game two. They only had three shots on goal in game five in the first period. Like, you got to help Stuart Skinner. But at the same time, Stuart Skinner is your better option. So let's go with him and see what happens.
Now, you played the position, Marty. Is the back and forth, is that, I guess this is kind of a two-part question. Is it harder on the goalie individually, or is it harder on the team?
Well, I think that going back and forth between two goalies is hard on the goalies, right? Because in Florida doesn't have to deal with that. They have Sergei Bobrovsky. And the teams that are usually the better teams in the playoffs don't have to deal with it. That's why when Calvin Pickard won a game after coming in relief in game four, it was the first time a goalie won a game in the Stanley Cup final coming in relief since 2015. It had been 10 years since Vasilevsky had done it. And then you look at names on that list, like Frank Petrangelo in 91. Like, it doesn't happen that often. If you get to the finals, that's because you have a guy that wins you games that stays in there. I played behind Dominic Hasek, Ryan Miller, Henrik Lundqvist in the playoffs. I didn't see 1 minute of action as the backup because you had some of the best goalies. You're the backup. You're not going in. So it's tough when you go back and forth between two goalies. Now, the tough part for the Oilers players right now, it's not so much who's in net as who is playing and who is playing with whom. Like, the lines have been changing constantly. The lineup has been changing constantly. And I'm not saying that is a problem that the coaching staff has created. It's just because you don't have healthy bodies. Zach Hyman has been injured, you know, broken wrist in the Dallas series. Connor Brown, not 100%. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins did not skate today. He's not 100%. Matthias Ekholm isn't 100%. You're dealing with so many players that are banged up right now that you're rotating players in and out of the lineups while Florida is using the same 18 skaters, the same four line, the same 6D. Like, there's a clear advantage in that department as well with the Panthers.
Marty Biron joining us of TSN, Buffalo Sabres analyst as well here on the Green Zone, getting set for tomorrow's game number six. When I look at getting ready for game number six and where the goalies are, Stuart Skinner is in the starter's net today. Do the goalies already know? Like, Chris Knobloch said, no, I'm not ready to name a starter. But has he already told them, Marty?
You would have to think so. I mean, I could see in the regular season, sometimes coaches will play games. They'll say, I'll let you know tomorrow morning because I want both of you guys to be ready. This is playing games. You're not playing games at this stage of your season, game six, facing elimination. They know. And by the way, I hate this whole starting goal crease or whatever. When I was playing, and I hate to be the, I'm old, and when I was playing, but Hasek was always across in that net, I was always in the other one. We had our nets. It wasn't the starter's net or whatever. So media couldn't tell. Is Hasek starting tonight? Who knows? It's not a starter's net. Marty is always in the left one. Dom is always in the right one. And when Dom retired, well, got traded to Detroit, I stayed in my net on the left side, and Ryan Miller came in to that one. Like, I feel like they like to go in the starter's net because I got to get in the mindset of the game tonight or whatever. Half the time they're in the practice facility or whatever. How about you just don't give too much information by always being in the same net? So, you know, coaches don't want to play the game, but goalies don't play the game either. Just stay in the same net, regardless of if you're starting or not, and we'll debate it even more. We'll speculate even more about it.
Speaking of debates, this is an ongoing one, just based on where we're at in the playoffs. But if you're putting a name down on that Conn Smythe trophy, who are you picking, Marty?
Right now it's Sam Bennett, because I'm looking at not just the final, but the overall playoffs, and he's been fantastic. 15 goals, 13 on the road, really being a major factor. Because Barkov and Reinhardt and Verhaeghe, they've got some good things going. Like, I mean, Reinhardt has 6 points in 5 games in the finals. Great. But I feel like the catalyst has been either Bennett or Marchand and his line. So I have Bennett number one, and I have Marchand number two. Hmm. How could Brad Marchand win the Conn Smythe if he goes out and has 2 goals, 1 assist? You know, Florida wins 4-3 tomorrow. He has a game-winning goal. I say, okay, now I may have to change. Well, I don't have a vote number one, but I would have to change my vote to Brad Marchand. But going into game six, I'm going with Sam Bennett.
Marty Biron joining us ahead of Game 6 tomorrow. Based on what we've seen, do we see a Game 7 on Friday night?
Well, I know people in Edmonton are going to hate me because I had picked the Florida Panthers in 6 games. I feel like without Zach Hyman, it was going to be really hard for the Edmonton Oilers to be able to compete. They've competed. I mean, there, you know, one team was going to be up. Like, you can't be tied going to Game 6, right? So, and the Panthers are the better team for me. But I really want a Game 7. And I want Stuart Skinner to just go out and play lights out. I want Connor McDavid to say, dig in like he did last year and let's go. Like, put the team on his back. A big problem right now is there has been quite a few penalties being called in these playoff games. But the Oilers have not been able to take advantage of it. The first power play of the game tomorrow for the Oilers is going to tell me if we're going to have a Game 7 or not. Hmm. If they score on that power play or create enough for me to think like, oh, the power play is going to have an impact, then I'll believe it. But if they go through the first power play like they did the first power play last game, like they did the first power play the game before that, then that's over. If your power play can't get you at least a goal, maybe two, then it's over.
Marty, Brad Marchand has apparently started a pregame tradition for the Panthers, and I guess there was just sort of a handful of guys that were doing it, and now it's grown. Last report in Edmonton before Game 5, 14 Florida Panthers went to Dairy Queen for a pregame snack. Was there any kind of pregame traditions for you? Or for teams you were on that were kind of fun like this, this DQ thing?
Oh, there would be way too many to talk about. And the playoffs are so special because of that. You usually get in the hotel on the road, and you have a special room where, you know, you have card tables, Xbox, PlayStations, you know, couches. We used to play Tiger Woods, you know, golf on the Xbox, and you know, we would stay there until midnight, like almost 1 a.m. sometimes after games and just play. I do remember with the Rangers the 1 year we played the Washington Capitals, and we would go to dinner in Georgetown, which is like right outside of Washington, D.C. And there was a Johnny Rockets on the street on the way back. We would always stop for ice cream there, and we had a great series. It changes series to series because you're in different cities. But if you go to a restaurant and you win, you're going to go back there and you're going to continue. It's everybody's superstitious at this time of year. So you're going to keep doing that.
There is Marty Biron on Team Superstition with Locker here on the Green Zone.
He's definitely on Team Locker on the superstition side of things.
Blue Oiler jersey. I'm telling you, try it out tomorrow.
Listen, I'll think about it.
Try it out tomorrow.
No. Game 6? What are you talking about?
No, if you try it out tomorrow and they win, then you wear it for Game 7. If they're losing, put it on. If they're losing tomorrow night, put it on. Blue Oiler jersey. I'm telling you. Do it. I don't believe in superstition, but
I'll think about it.
I'm telling you, it might matter.
All right.
Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump here on the Green Zone. The chump goes to, I don't know, just he's being petulant. Rory McIlroy on Saturday.
It's much easier being on the cut line when you don't really care if you're here for the weekend or not. You know, I was sort of thinking, do I really want two more days here or not? So it makes it easier to play better when you're in that mindset.
To the frustration on the golf course, what do you attribute?
No, not really. It's more a frustration with you guys.
Just, he won the Masters, and then I don't know what's going on with Rory, but he's just...
It wasn't just the Masters. He's been a bit off.
And there's shots with the media. I don't get the shots with the media. You couldn't meet a bigger group of fans of Rory McIlroy than those who cover golf when he won the Masters and when he was standing up for the PGA Tour against Liv. I don't know where it's gone, but
they
have
taken some shots at him. Just. Because he walked away from a tournament.
He didn't do any media at the last major. One day did he talk to reporters.
And then he got criticized by other golfers about that. So that
even Jack Nicklaus criticized him for it. So and then, I don't know. I don't like your attitude, Rory.
He does do a lot.
Right? As for the champ, I don't want any part of this.
Joey Chestnut. Why do you hate Joey so much?
I hate hot dog eating contests. They're disgusting and unnecessary, and the fact they're now become so popular.
Because they're fun.
They're gross.
What are you talking about?
Do you take joy in having a guy shove a hot dog wiener down his throat?
He's living his dream.
Dipping the bun into water. Oh! Everything about it is disgusting.
Joey Jaws Chestnut will be pursuing his 17th mustard belt on July 4th this year.
Congratulations.
Who isn't cheering for Joey?
Me. I want him to lose. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters. Go Washington Generals. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. We'll find out tomorrow who's starting to net for the Oilers against the Panthers. Meanwhile, the captain of the Oilers found out he's going to the Olympics. The first six on the roster announced today. Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Braden Point, Sam Reinhart. Were the others on that one. And Shohei Ohtani will start for the Dodgers tonight. I hope everybody has a great day. We'll get you set for Game 6 tomorrow. Britton Gray with an update from Day 1 of Riders practice ahead of Toronto as well, right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.